Well, this morning is an exciting time for us. Actually, today is an exciting time for us as a congregation. There's something exciting about being able to take in new members into the body, and there's something really exciting to be able to celebrate what makes us a body tonight as a congregation and as a body of believers. And I've been looking forward to today for a long time, because I wanted to make this morning a special service and have a good message, and be able to just have a good morning together, not knowing what my week would be like. Excuse me. And not knowing, I wouldn't have any idea what I'm going to be talking on until about 7 o'clock this morning. Because life has a way of taking us to places that we don't expect. I was thinking of talking about standing in the gap this week, and I'm actually just going to talk a couple of minutes about that this morning. As I was thinking about what makes a body of believers, what makes a church, what makes us function together. One phrase came to my mind, and that's that we stand in the gap for each other. Standing in the gap. And the Bible talks about that numerous places. Actually, in Ezekiel chapter 22, the Lord is saying, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on the behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. And really what God's saying in that verse is, I was looking for someone that would be able to stand in the gap that was happening, the distance between me and the people, and the land, actually, in this case. And I was looking all over, trying to find someone who had the guts to stand up in the gap between the reality of life over here and me and my holiness and what I'm requiring of the people, and I couldn't find anyone that had the guts to move into that gap. It's a pretty staggering thought. It's a pretty staggering verse. No one had the guts to move in there and be what the people, the children of Israel, needed and intercede for the land. And what was going on, and if you read that, God wanted to destroy the people, and he was saying, or destroy the land. And he said, I searched everywhere, but no one was willing to move into the gap. There's another story, and actually turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. Psalms 106 says this, they forgot God, their Savior, speaking of the children of Israel, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. And therefore he said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the gap, or stood before him in the breach. So Moses, he's talking about the fact, and I want to recount this story. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses, in this story, was the one that was willing to move into the gap. The reality, what was going on in the lives of the children of Israel that day and where God was at. And Moses had the courage, Moses had the guts to step up into the gap and intercede on behalf of the people. And it says at that point that the Lord turned his wrath away. That's in Psalms 106. And he did not destroy them. But we know the story in Exodus chapter 32. And it says, when the people saw Moses delayed, Moses was up on the mount receiving instruction from the Lord of where they were going to go as people, and the time got long. And it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron, and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. And they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And then the Lord said to Moses, go get down for your people, which you have brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Interesting note. God refers as the children of Israel, his people, but here he says, Moses, these are your people, these aren't my people. They're your people, you've brought them up out of here, now go get down to them and deal with them. Sorry, I lost my place there. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made themselves a molten calf and worshipped and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Now I don't know about you, but that would have made me stop and think a little bit. Because it seems to me like my pride would have gotten in the way right there, and I would have said, oh my goodness, I can get rid of this people. And later on, Moses wants to get rid of them. He's tired of leading them. He's tired of all the battle and the fight that goes on with the people. And the Lord's saying, get out of my way, let me alone, and I'm going to destroy this whole mess, and I'm going to raise up for you a people unto your name. And I love Moses. There's no indication that Moses ever gave that a second thought. He ignores, he doesn't even respond to God on that, but he goes on and says, then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them and to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as far as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he would do to his people. An incredible story. Someone that was willing to stand in the gap between life, the reality of what was going on, and between an almighty God. And in case we have a tendency to think that this is just a neat little prayer that Moses prayed, and God heard him immediately, it wasn't like that at all. In fact, Moses tells the story in Deuteronomy. And this is his side of the story, telling it later. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord and provoked him to anger. This wasn't some neat little prayer that Moses prayed and the Lord heard him and immediately it was taken care of. For 40 days and 40 nights, Moses stood in the gap for the people and prayed and begged and pleaded to the Lord for the people. And the Lord heard his prayer. And beyond that, Moses didn't stop there. In Exodus, later on in Exodus 32, verse 30. 1 and 32, it says, "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of the book of life, out of your book which you have written.'" Moses said, "I'm willing to go so far. If you're not going to forgive these people, I want you to blot my name out of your book. And I want you to forgive the sin of these people and be okay with them." And that's right after God said, "Get out of my way, I want to wipe them out." What an incredible man. What an incredible man that is willing to stand in the gap between the reality of life and between a holy God that is requiring tons of people that sometimes we don't measure up to and we fall short of, and we're not able to come through in the way that we need to and should. That's what being a church is all about. And the truth is, every one of us have gaps in our life, in periods of our life, where we need someone else that's willing to step up and stand in the gap for me, for you, for each other as a body of Christ. I needed it last night. A couple weeks ago, I talked about, I mentioned the verse after the one thing, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we know the rest of that verse. Last night, I was on my back, with my back against the wall, unable to move. I shouldn't say never, but there's only been probably one other time in my life that I've experienced spiritual warfare like I experienced last night. I needed people. I don't know where I would be without two things: my wife and Doug, actually my son, and people that were willing to get on their face before God and stand in the gap. I didn't know that I could be here this morning and stand up front. It was real, it was intense, so intense, I don't know even how to describe it. About 11:30, it eased up a little bit, and about 11:30, it was so bad again, I had no idea what I was going to do. I couldn't even pray. The only thing I could do was call out to Jesus. I just cried, "Jesus, help." It's the only thing I could do. A short time later, I was asleep. We have people, and I believe it's what the body of Jesus Christ is all about, people that are willing to stand in the gap. But I am glad that I don't have to rely on people. I have an advocate. Irvin talked about that this morning. We have an advocate that is much more powerful and much greater than any person. And that's Jesus. And tonight we're going to celebrate that as a body of believers. I'm glad that we have a body of believers that I know stand in the gap for people. But as we come together as a body of believers, let us never forget that we're called to stand in the gap. We're called to be there when the pressures of this world and the gap between the reality of what we're facing and dealing with and going through in life is so big between that and us. We need people in those moments. But more than that, I'm so glad that I can celebrate tonight a communion service of Jesus. The biggest and greatest gap stander that ever was and ever will be. For those of you that are becoming members this morning, it's not just members in a church where we get together and have a lot of fun. We do that. But the truth is, we're called to enter into a battle and to be gap standers for people, our brothers and sisters that walk alongside of us. When the going gets tough, when our back's against the wall, we have no place to turn. We have a body and a group of believers that we can call up, or they can come over, or whatever the situation is, to stand in the gap for what's going on in our lives. That's all I have to say. But I tell you what, I never knew that I would experience personally some of the things that I was planning on speaking on this morning in the way that I did. Keep praying. And I want to bless each one that's becoming members here this morning, because we are called to be a body, and I'm glad for each one that gathers and rallies around, because the more people we have standing in the gap for us in our lives, the greater the power is. And I want to bless you as you become members this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for people. People who are willing to stand in the gap. People who are willing to move in, maybe when we can't even pray, or the battle is so great we don't know which way to turn. I thank you for men and women that are in tune with your spirit and are able to fall on their face before you and to stand in the gap for each other. And I thank you for Jesus Christ, the greatest and the ultimate gap stander that has ever been. And Lord, also the Holy Spirit that is our advocate and intercedes for us on our behalf, like Irvin talked about this morning. And Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, continue to use us as a congregation and as a body of believers. Lord, I pray that we would lay aside the easiness that we long for in life, and that we would enter the battle and join in the battle, and that we would be men and women that would be willing to stand up in the gap for each other. I pray that for our congregation as we bring in new members this morning. Lord, we're committing ourselves to be that to each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. I can say a hearty amen to the message this morning. If we're honest with ourselves and with each other, I don't think there's one of us here that either hasn't already or will not in the future need somebody to stand in the gap for us. And that is something that's important to us as a church here. That's what we're about, is being there for each other. That's something that when we sign our covenant that you're given the opportunity as members to sign, that's something you're committing yourself to, or recommitting yourself to annually, is being there for others, being willing to do the difficult spiritual battle at times, caring enough to inconvenience yourself. And Mark, I think, gave us an excellent picture of that. Thanks for your openness, Mark. Well, this morning we're going to be bringing in one new junior member, Tyler Miller, and along with, I think there's 17 here. Joy Smoker is not here this morning, so we'll need to be bringing her in at another time. But some of them were just baptized this spring, and I'm going to ask Austin, Brendan, and Jordan, and Tyler to come on up. and stand here on be your right, my left. They've already shared their testimonies back at the baptism service that we had. But I want to ask them some questions this morning and then give you, the congregation, an opportunity to respond to them. I think I said a lot of this at the baptism service, but I just want to reiterate some of it again. I thoroughly enjoyed teaching the class the majority of the time, and we had some fun together. And more than anything, though, I was impressed with how you guys are willing to think. You don't just take life at what it is, but you ask questions, and I admire that. I want to challenge you to keep on asking those questions and get to the bottom of what Scripture says. Tyler, I want to ask you a question first as a junior member, and then the three of you, Austin and Brendan and Jordan, I'll ask you a question here in a moment. I think before I ask those questions, I want to read off the names of the others that will be taken in here as members this morning. Jesse and Chris Krupp, Claudia Barkman, Dalen and Merletta Grove, David King, Levi and Esther Stolzfus, Brian and Elaine Miller, Stanley and Darlene Martin, Rhoda Rohr, and Rosita Miller, and then the four that we have up here. Tyler, the question I have for you is, do you commit yourself to being faithful to God and obedient to your parents as they direct and guide you spiritually? Thank you, Tyler. I want to ask the three of you members or that are coming on as members another question. And that question I'm just going to ask you and then give each of you a chance to respond. Can you affirm that you have a growing relationship with God? And after reviewing our covenant, which we went over in pretty much detail in the class, that this is what you believe and that you are committed to accountability and responsibility as a member of this congregation? Thanks. To the congregation, you heard their responses or saw their acknowledgement. Do you accept them as a member of this congregation? It'd be the three of them, not the junior member I'm asking. Do you accept them as members, the three older ones? Do you accept them as a member of this congregation and commit yourself to stand beside them or stand in the gap for them? Accept, support, and pray for them as a part of the body here at Life Fellowship. And if that's something that you can commit yourself to as a member here, I invite you to stand to show them your support. Thank you. You can be seated. The four of you can be seated, and I'll have you new members come up later to sign the covenant. For the others that are being brought in, they'll be sharing their testimonies, and Doug is going to be in charge of the next portion of the service. So, Doug.
Well, I do agree that it's good to be here and to bring new people into the body. I'll tell you a little story that happened when we first started the church back in 97. I remember, I don't know, maybe a year or two later, there's a group of guys standing at the bottom of the steps of Life Ministries, probably half a dozen of us or so. And Lester was there talking, and he said, you know, he said, I see in this group a bunch of future leaders. He said, I see preachers and teachers and I'm not sure what else, he said, and I wanted to run. I'll just say that to you new members coming in. God's not finished with you yet. God has a plan and a purpose, and God's going to use your gifts and talents to honor and glorify him. So I ask those who are being taken in this morning to come up and just form a circle behind me here. This morning we're not taking in perfect people, and they're not joining a perfect church. But we're taking in people who, as God is working on, as they've shared their stories in class, as we've shared together, it's neat to hear your stories of what God's doing in your lives and how he's molding and shaping them into the people that he wants them to be. And this morning they've chosen to join this church, this body, to help them in that process. And what they will be saying is they'll be opening themselves up to accountability, to walking with people walking beside them and standing in the gap, as Mark talked about. And it's exciting to have to bring them on this morning. And I thank God for the gifts and the talents and abilities God's given each of you. And be prepared to be used and to be stretched and to go places that you think you can't go. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. So I just want to bless you this morning. I'm just going to hand the mic around the circle and just share your testimony, and then we'll sign the covenant.
Yeah, as for myself, I want to thank Jesus for what he did for me on the cross. I was baptized as a teenager, but did not have Christ in my heart until I was 30. I still kept God at an arm's length until many years later, as the Holy Spirit became active in my life. I was rebaptized and progressed my Christian walk. I have felt welcomed and accepted here, and I would like to be an encouragement to others on their journey. At this time, I have two verses in Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken.
We were looking for a church where God's name is lifted up, where Jesus is Lord, and where the Holy Spirit is recognized and free to operate. We were delighted to find that here and much more, a place where we are encouraged to be who God created us to be and to look at our hearts, not only what we are doing, but why. I became a Christian at a young age with a sincere desire to know and follow God. I didn't grow a lot until later when we attended another church and also through the discovery of Christian radio. I believe I have grown a lot in my personal journey with God as we've began attending here, and appreciate the people who challenge me in many areas of my life by their example and journeys of their own that they shared. I hope to be able to bless others as I've been blessed, and want to say a special thank you to the ministry. I also mention, I see the Stutzmans are here, and Door of Hope had a lot to do with my journey. Please continue to pray for me as I seek to become more and more like Christ in my walk of life. Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6 have been special to me. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I also want to praise God for carrying me through many difficult times and being altogether faithful to me.
I will say it's good to be here today. It's good to be coming a part of this church again. I asked somebody yesterday what we're supposed to share, and they said, well, share whatever's on your heart. Last couple of years have been a real journey for us as a family and for me personally. And two verses that I have been reading frequently the last number of weeks are in Mark chapter 9, where a man came to Jesus. He had a son who had an evil spirit, and he came to Jesus' disciples and asked them to cast the spirit out, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus' response in verse 23 of Mark 9 was, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out, said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And that's where I would say I am today. And I believe God is faithful. Sometimes it's a journey to really embrace that and believe that. But I do believe, and I look forward to being part of this church.
The last few years, there have been a number of times that I wondered, God, where are you? Do you know I am here? Do you even care? But this week, in some reading that I have done, I came across this statement: faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is in control. My desire is to trust him even when I don't feel and see him. And I would appreciate your prayers as I desire to be a valuable member here at Life.
On August 22nd, 2007, me and my dad were coming home from prayer meeting. We were talking about accepting Jesus and where you would go if you weren't saved after death, when I realized that I needed to be saved. So that night, I became a Christian. On April 11, 2008, I was baptized and became a member of the church we were attending. A couple months later, we felt that God wanted us somewhere else, so we dropped our membership and started trying to find where God wanted us. We've been searching for the past couple years, and I started feeling that we would never find a church. But I kept remembering what it said in Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" Another word I'd like to put there is what? "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom or what shall I fear?" And thinking of that, I would remember that God is with us no matter what happens. I feel at home here, and I'm looking forward to becoming a member.
It's been 6 years since my life has been radically changed. And at 14, that's when I decided that God has to be integrated into every part of my life, not just on Sundays, not just here, there. And so since then, I feel like I've been in a radical pursuit of God and trying to an abolishment of the norm in my life and just passionately pursuing God. And so slowly it feels like God's been moving me up, and sometimes it feels like, oh, just a big leap. And this summer was one of those massive leaps with God. It feels like this summer God just pounded me into the doorpost of his heart, and just really I feel so like God has blessed me so much with being able to be faithful. And so my calling now is to live daily in faithfulness to God. I feel like for so long I've looked to the future and, oh, I can be a single missionary overseas and that's when I'll be faithful and that's when I'll live daily for God. But I am realizing, and especially this summer, that faithfulness to God is a daily and hourly thing. And I battle with flesh, but I believe God is victorious. And especially this summer, I saw a lot how I'm afraid to go into the mountain of God. And I was studying this passage of Moses, how everyone else drew away from the mountain, but Moses drew close to the thickness of God. And as I read that, I thought, God, I'm so scared of this thickness. And I'm just like the Israelites. I'm so scared to draw near to that thickness. And so I'm in pursuit of God, and I'm in pursuit of drawing into that thickness where God is and not being afraid, not drawing away and like the Israelites. And so I want to be like Moses, and I believe that a big part of my journey has been here at Life, and I want to continue that as long as God calls me here.
First, I just want to say that we really appreciate the congregation here. I've attended many churches, and this is the first one where I truly felt welcomed and just accepted, even with struggles and problems and whatever. We don't have to act perfect here. I was 13 when I became a Christian, and if you know me at all, you know that my life has not been easy, and I don't expect the rest of it will be either. Jesus promised his followers that we will have tribulations, and if we're following him, the world will hate us. I just am forever grateful to God that he stepped in and became my father, took the place of my dad, which As you know, he's in county jail. And yeah, I care about my dad, but in some ways it doesn't even bother me because I have another father. And he's, yeah, he'll never be in jail. actually, I'm much more concerned about many of us who are in spiritual jail, who are in bondage, and physical jail is whatever, but spiritual jail, you can't see it a lot of times, but it's so much more serious. That's where my heart is. One of my favorite verses is, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And his spirit is within me," and I just thank and praise him for saving me, and I look forward to the day I meet him.
I was trying to think about what I should share, and there are three words that kept on coming to my mind, and that is, God is faithful. I became a Christian when I was 8, but there was a very long period of my life where I strayed from God, lived to the flesh, full throttle, and loved it. But when I was 18, God started turning that around, and it has been an incredible journey with God. A big thing that I asked God was when I came to face-to-face with him was there was a huge pile of stuff that I knew I needed to face, and it was overwhelming. And if I looked at that pile, I just wanted to run because it would have been a lot easier just to stick in the life where I was, you know? And I asked God that, you know what, I'm just going to push that to the side right now because I need to live in the joy that I have of Jesus Christ. And I want to face these things, but bring them when I'm ready for them, to face them. And I tell you, God has been faithful in that. And it has been such a blessing to look back over my life and just see the faithfulness of God coming through again and again and again. He's never given up on me. And I just praise him for that. There's a chapter that has stuck with me ever since I was little, and it's Psalms 23. We probably all learned it when we were little, but it's just an incredible picture of who God has been to me and who I know he will continue to be in my life. And I'm going to read it in the NET translation. I love how it says it. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack absolutely nothing. He takes me to lush pastures. He leads me to refreshing water. He restores my strength. He leads me down the right paths for the sake of his reputation. Even when I must walk through the darkest valleys, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff reassure me. You prepare a feast before me in plain sight of my enemies. You refresh my head with oil. My cup is completely full. Surely goodness and faithfulness will pursue me all my days, and I will live in the Lord's house for the rest of my life." That's my testimony, and that's my God and what he's done for me.
I want to bless God in heaven for drawing me, for the work of the Holy Spirit to make me aware of my need of God. And most of all, I thank Jesus for the power and the power in the blood. James and Carla especially played the song, sang and played the song "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." I had asked them to do that a couple weeks ago when I was really struggling and praying, and I turned on the CD and the first words that came to me was, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And it was like, here is my answer. I can always come back to Jesus in the midst of struggle. And I was just really touched with Mark's story this morning. And I don't wish the spirit world battle on anybody, but it is good to know that others also face it. And it's so good to know that there are people to stand in the gap in those moments. But most of all, that Jesus stands in the gap for me, even when nobody else knows what is going on. Psalms Bible verses, profound comments have really been an encouragement in my life. And yeah, people have done a lot for me too. Probably a lot of you know that Dan Beachy was my counselor for quite a few years. Emma would come in week after week, year after year. I really appreciate what I learned from her about commitment and faithfulness. And it was at Dan's suggestion that I would have went to Take Back Your Life seminar last summer. And it's interesting to see Steve and Dorcas here. I don't know if they have any idea what that seminar has done for my life. But yes, I thank God for bringing his word into my heart through that seminar in a new way. And Kathy Gingrich has been very special in my life. She seems to have the gift of knowing what question to ask when. And I just thank God for the Kathys in the Church of Jesus Christ. Loyal and Dorcas Martin have played a big piece in my life by having open doors into their home through the years. I've been there so often, I don't think I can count. And I just ask God's blessing on them. Mary Fay Nolt has enriched and touched my life in many little ways and has been very faithful at calling me at the just little times, and we call it check-in time. So, yeah. Last but not least, I want to give a blessing to Mark and Starla for the way they've touched my life and the way they allow God to use them in the work of the church here. And as I become a member, I'm aware of the commitment I'm making in a new way, as Mark shared his story, to be willing to stand in the gap for anyone at any time who may need me. And I make that commitment with an honest heart and a real desire to be what God wants me to be. So I look forward to actually being a part. I felt like I have been a part for a long time already, but the initial step of becoming a member is exciting.
First of all, I want to thank God for putting himself into my heart and putting himself into other people's heart. That way I can recognize that in other people. It's good to see Jesus in people. It's good to see him here. I'm pretty young, so I don't have like a lot of experience in this living thing or anything, but I would have become a Christian when I was 14, pretty young, and it was real to me then, but as years and time went on into my teenage years, it lost the brightness, I guess I could say, and I lived for myself for a lot of years. Maybe not a lot, but a few seems like a lot to me. And over that time, pushed a lot of things away that I didn't want to face. Pushed a lot of things away that I knew I would have to face sometime, but just didn't want to. And but I knew that there was something more to life. I knew that there was something out there in life. And I saw it in people. And I knew I wanted that. But I was so scared of failure. I'm the type of person that if I'm not going to be really good at something, I don't even want to start it. And that kept me trapped for a while. And to anybody in those shoes, don't worry about that. God does not expect a perfect person. And it took me a while to realize that. And through prayers of awesome people and through people planting into my life, God got a hold of me again and showed me that he really did care about me. That was always another fear that I had. Does God even care about me as a person? There's so many people. Why would he even care about me? And through a little book that a friend of mine purchased for me, written in 07, there were things in that book. It's a little devotional book for each day. And to the day, they spoke into things that happened in my life. It was pretty sweet to see. So it would be 3 years. In February, it would be 3 years that I rededicated my life. And God has changed me and given me a reason to live, a reason to love life. I was baptized in the Honeybrook Church, the Honeybrook community, and it was awesome to be there. Excuse me. And to be discipled by them, I grew a lot in that time. And I'm excited now to be here. Thank you for making me feel welcome. Thank you to the leaders, Tim, Mark, Doug. Thank you for the awesome atmosphere that you guys create in the whole church. It's a blessing. I have a verse I want to read in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 4. According to as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's our God. He chose us before we even lived. He had everything worked out. If that doesn't show he cares, there's not much that will. He cares about everybody. And my encouragement to you is thank him and recognize that in your life.
My favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God is good and he does answer prayer. I grew up Amish. I was baptized at age 17, mostly because my friends got baptized. When I was about 22 years old, I started to really search the Bible, and soon after that, I rededicated my life to the Lord and also decided to get rebaptized when my husband got baptized at New Covenant Mennonite Fellowship in 99. I would ask for everyone's prayers on my journey in life.
As I was growing up, my family taught me the Bible and about God, but never taught me on the plan of salvation. So about age 20, I began to realize I needed Jesus Christ in my heart. I accepted Jesus into my heart and got baptized the following year. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I just want to say that look forward to spending time here at Life. Thank you.
It's really good to be back after being gone about a month. And I feel privileged to be able to become a part of this church. And I know it's not perfect, and no one is, but I've come to love it here and the new friendships that I have made. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 9, and it was probably more about being scared of going to hell than having an actual relationship with God. But I would say in the past year and a half since we've been coming here, I've been challenged and come to realize more than before that that's really what counts, and that's what God longs for, is a relationship with me. I would love if you would pray for me as a young mom and a wife, that I could become who God wants me to be and also be a blessing and encouragement to others.
I'd just like to say good morning to each one here. And as I thought about my testimony, I wanted my testimony to be real, not just a bunch of words. And so I thought about it back over my life when I first became a Christian at 15. I did just enough to get by, just enough so people thought I was living a good life. And when the inside didn't count, I figured what was in the inside didn't really matter, or as long as other people didn't know about it. But that's one reason why I wanted to come to this church. It feels real. It feels like I can live out my salvation. And also with becoming youth group leaders, I don't want just the outside of my life to look good for these boys and young men. I want to be an authentic Christian where they can see my faith and that my faith would last me through. Just ask for your prayers in our Christian walk, and also as we lead out in the youth group. Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing. It's good to have a little window into your lives. I've known some of you for years. Some of you don't know, but Brian worked on our farm when he was a teenager. So I've known him for a lot of years, and so it's good to get to know you better. I'm going to ask the question that I'll be asking you to answer. You can nod your head, say yes, shout yes, whatever you want to say. So the question is, can you affirm that you have a growing relationship with Jesus, with God, and after reviewing our covenant, that this is what you believe, and that you commit to accountability and responsibility as a member of this congregation? Thank you. So the congregation, you've heard their testimonies and their desire to be a part of the body, and I just ask you if you can support them and pray for them and affirm them in their walk, if you'll stand this time. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask the ones that were taken in as new members, the three that were baptized, to come up and to join with the rest as they sign the covenant. What they'll be signing is a covenant of our church, of what we believe in their faith, in commitment to the congregation, commitment to daily living, Christian life, and they'll sign it, and then they'll get to keep it as their own copy. So just file around, sign a copy. As we said before, husband and wife sign one, top and bottom, and then just return back to standing up front. And then we'll have closing prayer, and then afterwards, you'll be able to come up and welcome them to the body. So, Stanley, you want to start? Tim, if you could lead some songs of Lord Prepare Us and some other congregational songs. Yeah, take them with you now, but just return back to the line here. Well, blessings as you become a part of the body and allow God to mold you and shape you, and pray you'll be able to use your gift to honor and glorify Him here and wherever God calls you. Like you said, every day, be faithful to God. Like I said, they'll be standing up here afterwards. Feel free to come up and welcome them to the body. There's lunch for everyone, so you're welcome to stay for that. So let's stand together for a closing prayer. Thanks so much, Heavenly Father, for the privilege to be together this morning to worship, to praise, and to bring honor and glory to your name. We thank you for who you are and what you have done in our lives and for calling us to be children of yours, to be sons and daughters, and for your faithfulness in walking with us. I thank you for the word this morning that was spoken through Brother Mark. I pray you'd be near him, guide him, give him strength for the journey that he is on. Thank you for being with him last night and for being faithful to your servant. And Lord, for those who have joined the body this morning, thank you for each one and for their testimony and for their desire to follow you. Lord, I pray you be faithful to them as they seek your way and your will for their lives. Be faithful, Lord, to them every day as they walk with you. Lord, thank you for the meal that's been prepared, and Lord, I pray a blessing upon it and for the fellowship that we have together that would be honor and glorifying to you. That your name would go forth from this body, from your people here on earth, that you are faithful, you are true. In Jesus' name, amen.